Hey, it's another episode of Black Girls Laughing.
We're here, we're back with the dope facts. I don't remember all of Brittany's
the dope takes on intro. Current events. That's it. It's okay. Very simple, very memorable.
I like to say the dope facts. I don't know why.
All right.
The dope facts.
Yeah, we
dope.
We try to come with facts. That's why I don't say facts. Like, there's some facts and there's a gotcha. Shit ton of opinion. So that's why it's the takes.
In case it's not factual.
Yeah,
because
you can come fact check this shit. Like, yeah, we have some links in here. You know, we come with some receipts, but.
But. So how was your week?
My week.
What's new? What's up?
My week was good. My week was weird. At my job, they do like this like rhythm team. And so like a bunch of people from all over the company come together to do like a 2-day strategy session. So there was my vice president who doesn't work with me, who works in the UK. She came. And so I got to like be in her space for like a week. So that was cool. Finally, show like all the cool shit that I'm doing. And that was like, that like helped my self-esteem at work, which is really great. And then everyone was like, I was apparently dressing really cute all this week. And everyone was just like complimenting me left and right, which was freaking weird at work. Like, just to have like so many people like, this is Brittany and she's just like the sharpest dresser. And I'm like, it's just like sort of like getting used to like, oh yeah, I'm in Colorado Springs. And so maybe what I do is extra special here. Like, I don't know. It was just like weird to get like that type of attention, especially like in a female run organization, to have like your leaders telling you how much they admire the way you dress. I don't know. It's like it's different coming from female leaders at your job. So I'm just sort of like, oh, how do I use this? Like, how is being cute an asset?
Well, that is exciting. I'm excited to hear that you had a good week, and I'm not surprised to hear that everyone thought you looked cute.
Oh, and my sister-in-law is visiting, which is also really cool. And we did a bunch of like hiking and adventuring, and she brought her man. She's like been dating this boy for 6 months, and she brought him. And so that's been interesting. Like, oh, is this like a serious thing? Okay.
I mean, she brought him to meet her sister-in-law and brother, so I feel like, it's yeah. Like,
so I'm like, ooh, is this like a new family member? Ah.
is this a brother? Is this, what is this?
Which is like, oh, that's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know that life.
How was your week, girl?
It was good. I had an event. I'm on the board for an advisory board for an arts organization here in Philly, the Painted Bride. So we had our kickoff event for that. Nothing really exciting. Still trying to work through this applying for jobs thing. I haven't really been doing it because I've been really exhausted from the whole process mentally and emotionally. Especially since, you know, I've gone through multiple interviews and been in multiple last rounds at this point in the new year. And I don't want to go through the process of even applying anymore. I'm just really tired. And, you know, other than that, though, I've been really active in terms of working out and running, like I said, I wanted to be. So that is a positive. and there's some traveling coming up in my future, so that is also a positive. And yeah, it was a good week. I have a pretty good check it for you guys this week, or I feel like it's really good after some of the things I went through this week, so I'm excited to record this episode.
Yay!
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah. The John.
Yeah, let's get into the John. I'll start it off.
The John.
Because I got some like good some good news on the top of the show. So like this past month, a lot of good things have been happening to the women of the nightly show. If you don't know, Larry Wilmore had a show called The Nightly Show that came on after The Daily Show on Comedy Central. So it was like black man after black man on Comedy Central four days a week. And like, cause it's a Monday through Thursday show. And so that's like, it was a huge deal. And of course they canceled it. And The Nightly Show was my favorite half hour. I do not like The Daily Show. I'm done with The Daily Show. I don't even watch it anymore after Jessica Williams was gone. But Francesca Ramsey, Robin Thede, and Grace Parra, they had these three great, there's even other black women on the show, but they have just got some like major projects coming down the pipe. So Francesca Ramsey from Decoded on MTV, and she was on The Nightly Show. She's a pilot in the works on Comedy Central. And then Robin Thede, who was hilarious on the show, and I was introduced to her through The Nightly Show. She's going to have a night show, like a nightly talk show on BET that's going to be produced by Chris Rock. So she's getting tapped by like straight up, you know, comedic royalty to like start this show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, girl, I'm excited for that. And then Grace Parra, it's the 30th of April. Tonight her documentary is premiering on Univision, but it's a bilingual documentary, so it was recorded in both English and Spanish, and it's going to be premiering on Univision. It's called Salud Yes Please. It's all about the American Care Act and the people that will be affected by that are using the American Care Act for health insurance, what it means, what the different changes that could happen could mean to those people. It's a really like personal look at the Affordable Care Act. I kept on calling it American Care Act, Affordable Care Act. It is American. And it's going to be on that. It's also going to be on Fusion Television. So I'm just like, yeah, these awesome ladies, they lost their jobs, but they're still doing great things. It's crazy, especially with Francesca Ramsey. You know, it's only the second black woman to lead a pilot on Comedy Central, and that station's been around for like 30 years. Like, what?
I wish I could say I'm not surprised.
And like the other one is Jessica Williams, who got her pilot this year as well. So it's like, wow. But anyways, so yeah, I'm just happy for those ladies. I can't wait for these shows to start. I will definitely tune in.
If you're getting tapped by Chris Rock, like, what funny have we yet to see?
Right?
Like, what is about to come out of this? Because if he's tapping you, and I feel like the Nightly Show didn't get time to live up to what it had truly, and like flex its real muscles, and everyone didn't get to flex their real skills, so for you to be getting tapped by I'm like, that's exciting.
Yeah,
if we didn't, there's so much funny that we missed, and I'm really excited to see the funny, and it's really awesome to see Francesca Ramsey blowing up. I mean, I started following her when she did that, when she was doing her YouTube videos of like shit white girls say.
I mean, that was like 5 years ago too. That was like an hour ago. And like, look where she is now.
Yeah, that's so awesome to see. And again, more black women just, as usual, killing the game. So that's exciting. We have more people to talk about their great work. Instead of being on one show, now we've got multiple ways to talk about these same people. Content for us.
Yeah. Yay, more black girls. So what you got?
So, I was reading this week, Love B. Scott is a site that I feel like all of us in the podcast world that talk about current events seem to stumble on, because it's a great place to find popular culture often focused in people of color and black people, which is always good, both the positive and the negative, instead of just, like, the trash all the time. And this headline really, I was really drawn, Whitney Houston's alleged bisexuality and romance with Robin Crawford addressed a new documentary, Robin provided a safe place for her. And I feel really conflicted by this. I, on one hand, would love to talk about just the queerness of black women and how so many more exist in that space than any of us know. And it's exciting to know that someone, again, like someone I love and someone we love and treasure, existed in this space of queerness and finally talking about it in the mainstream media. 'Cause, you know, representation of this is really important, and the more we see it, hopefully the more other black women feel comfortable enough and in a space where they can be open with their queerness. But then it's like talking about someone's sexuality and talking about these things when they're not there to be a part of the conversation just does not sit right. I mean, it's like outing someone.
Outing them from the grave.
It's outing her. Yeah. She's not here to say anything. Like, no one, she's not here to defend herself or be a part of the conversation or be like, this is something I wasn't comfortable. Like, there's no being like, I'm comfortable with telling you this because she's gone. She's passed away. So I feel very, I'm very conflicted. On one hand, I'm excited. Yes, a queer black woman that everyone loved, and hearing about her relationship with another woman, but also outing someone from the grave, as Brittany said, is like, oh, what? No, don't do that. But that's awesome. But don't do that. So I'm curious to know what you think, Brittany, and I'd love to hear what you guys think, too, if you guys want to tweet us and talk about this. I think this is a really good conversation that we could have about and carry on via social media.
Yeah, you know, Whitney Houston's sexuality has been gossip in the black community for forever. I know, especially, like, I know I felt a little closer to it, and because my family's from Boston and grew up around the Bobby Brown family, and knew a lot of people in that family. And so there was lots of conversation about that. It just like, cause you know, if you're just like sort of close to it, you're gonna feed into the gossip. So it's like, it really depends on how it's done. If it ends up feeling like tabloid fodder and not a real talk about queerness and having and closetedness inside of the black community in entertainment, and that's something. I mean, it And just that's something that permeates throughout all different sectors and throughout all different people. But for her not to be a part of that conversation, it takes away a lot of its validity. And they have a huge hill to mountain to climb over in terms of to be able to show its trustworthiness or its worthiness of even being a part of this, but being a part of this important film festival, being introduced to the zeitgeist. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's just a lot of other people that could come out about their bisexuality and be a part of the conversation instead of taking someone else's, I mean, at this point, it's skeletons. And it's, again, it doesn't, that the way that it's shown will make it seem like queerness is not a normal thing. Like the way that it like that's something that it could be trapped in, and almost like letting that homophobia be validated in some way by the way that they that they tell the story, and the way that, and again, in this outing of a person after their death, it will have a tendency to fall into that category.
Like, I got really nervous of thinking of like how they were going to intertwine this storyline of her bisexuality with her drug use and the abuse that she experienced with Bobby Brown, and like making it look like her life was so traumatic, so, and she had poor experiences with men, so she turned to a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they had been friends for years, mm-hmm. but, like, who knows what the film people will do, and all we can hope is that since Robin has talked about this, that, it can be portrayed well. I mean, all we can do is cross our fingers and be glad that, like, TLC or whoever has been trying to do those mockumentary
Lifetime
versions of, yeah, whoever it is, isn't doing this story. That's also another positive. So I'm really interested to see, would really love you guys to like engage in conversation about this, because I feel like there's a lot to be talked about around this topic. And since it hasn't happened yet, we can cross our fingers and talk about what we hope to see. And then when it happens in August is when it premieres. We can then come back to this topic and see what happened.
Yeah. I can't. Well, let's see it. Let's discuss.
Yeah. Yes. So on to garbage. I see that you have to present to us.
Yeah, there's just a lot of garbage. I mean, I felt like we could not talk about this, because it's been like the thing that's been permeating in Black culture on the internet and beyond, in Black media for like the past like 4 or 5 days. So yeah, we're gonna talk about Shea Moisture. Yeah. So if you don't know, they dropped this commercial that featured a biracial YouTube star and two white women talking about their hair journeys and how they were uncomfortable, how they didn't know how to work with their hair. After that video dropped, and it's like a commercial, yeah. An internet commercial. A lot of people were like, yo, where are the Black women with the 4C hair that have been holding Shea Moisture down for years in this video? And so people have been pissed the F off. I have seen so many people just go off on this. And like, you know, they are wrong. In this video, and the way that this video was presented, if you just saw that video, it feels like the years that we've known of companies that go real hard on the Black community and build up their market share with Black dollars, and then decide to pivot to the left and say, we are for everybody, all lives matters, their business, and literally alienate and just stop caring about Black dollars. It's like happened time and time again. I mean, the biggest example for me in recent years is Fox and UPN, who became television stations, and they had television shows like Moesha and Martin and Living Single, and very much catered to the Black community. Fast forward, 10 years later, 15 years later, and the UPN is gone. It's merged with the WB. Even the WB had a lot of Black shows too on it. It becomes the CW, and it becomes White Teen Station. And then Fox says F you, and then there's just no color on Fox for years until we had Empire. And so I understand the fear. Now, I've also noticed that there's a lot of misinformation about Shea Moisture going out there. And I just wanted to figure out, like, what the hell is going on. I saw lots of different things, people saying a lot of different stuff about Shea Moisture. Some things that I believed until I decided to, like, dig in on it. So I just want to go through a couple of those. So, B, did you hear, on the internet, did you hear this thing that Shea Moisture is not Black owned?
I heard that they sold out to a larger company.
Yes.
To L'Oreal, I believe. They sold shares, but a Black person is still the sole owner of Shea Moisture.
Correct. So I thought that they were bought by... So there's this other company that's their name now. It's called Sundial. And I thought they were bought by Sundial, Sundial was like some multinational like marketing agency. No, Sundial is just the umbrella company for three Black hair care lines. They own Shea Moisture, but the CEO is the same person that created Shea Moisture. I'm going to fuck up your name. Sorry. Richie Lou Dennis. And anyways, he was actually on the Breakfast Club this past week to like defend himself, which I've been interested in the way that they've like come back on this, like immediately. Another thing that I've heard a lot, and I'm not sure if this is true or false, is that they've changed their formula to cater to white people. Have you heard that?
Yeah, which I had a comment if we were going to talk about that concept or the idea of doing that.
I can only go by what they said. And they've said no, that they haven't changed their product. And they could be lying. I don't know. They could be. Like, they could totally say one thing to us and do another. And that's your own judgment call to decide if they're telling the truth or not. But I also know that I've been using Shea Moisture forever, and I haven't noticed that personally. I've heard other people say these things, but I also know as a natural hair wearing Black woman that I can't use the same product 365 days in the year. I have to rotate my products consistently because your hair changes when you use a product. So it might adapt and not be able to take it on the same way. You change, your body makeup changes. Did you change your diet? I mean, did your environment change? There's so many things that affect our hair and how it reacts to other products. Before I switched to Black products, I had to, change, recycle at certain times. This stuff just stops working. The same thing happens with your body. Like when you're working out, like you can't be on the same diet all the time and expect the same results. Especially when you're dealing with the human body, you can't do the same thing to it and expect the same results, period. Maybe there's been some changes. I've seen lots of people that I believe that they feel like it's changed. Cool. You can have that opinion, but to say that without any real facts behind it just seems like a reach to me. Did you also hear this, B, that there's no black women in leadership at Shea Moisture?
No, but I did hear that there was something funky about the people that worked there or the people that they were sending out to events to represent the company. Because I remember I shared that Twitter thread with you, mm-hmm. with the one hair model who had seen Shea Moisture a part of this expose, and it was, like, white women there. Which, like, as a representative, that don't make no sense, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was mostly white women in leadership. That's how a lot of companies work, so
yeah, I'm still up in the air on that one. I went onto their LinkedIn page and I looked at all the different people at the organization that identify themselves as employees of Shea Moisture. And I did find some black women that had VP positions in communications and in marketing. So, there are black women there. And then I also heard this other thing, that a black woman would never make that mistake of having that video.
That ain't true.
That ain't true at all. It's just not true. And then another thing that people, I think another fact that I just need to like bring up is that this is not just about, this video was not the only video in the series. And I think that's something that's, like, been missed on a lot of people. There's, like, 30 videos. This one had two white women and a biracial girl. That was, the way that they did it was wrong. I just don't understand companies that don't understand that social media is almost a human. And that they will consume it and one thing, and they will judge you off of one thing instead of looking at the whole. You need to combat that. You need to look at every single move. So not every, like, the CEO said that they approved the entire thing and did not approve each individual video, which makes sense. You make a huge ass campaign. You might not, and you're trying to push it out. You might not look at, something might slip through. They need to figure out their business practices. A lot of people need to figure out their business practices. There's been too much bullshit like this. Cause, like, I'm not giving Pepsi a pass or that dumbass Heineken one that's out now what was the other one that, like, the Nivea one? I'm not giving any of those things passes because no. And I'm not giving this one video. You guys should have caught it. It shouldn't have came out there. Like, you guys really fucked up. And you've messed up trust because of these years and years of companies doing this to us. And so a lot of people are going on like full boycott mode. I'm on the fence if I'm going to completely boycott. Am I looking up other black products, black owned businesses that cater to natural hair? The hell yeah, I am. Because I don't like what they did. But I am going to still, I'm going to watch and listen to how they respond and what they do next. Because, again, it sucks to say this. And I feel like we have this culture that, like, mistakes don't just happen. But mistakes do happen. If you are so upset, that means you have such brand loyalty to them that you felt a part of that family for so many years. And think about that they won your trust somehow. They won your trust. They won my trust. I was ride or die. I've been ride or die. I've gone to so many Shea Moisture events. I have like full product lines in my bathroom right now. So I'm just sort of like, you gotta think, like, we just need to, like, you know, breathe, collective breath, think. Because, like, also think about a lot of people that are going to lose a lot of money, right? If we all decide that Shea Moisture is done, think about your YouTube girls that are making money. Like, it's a lot of people outside, like, not that they're too big to fail, but, like, I was, like, thinking about, and I'm excited, I'm interested, I went searching. You girls haven't responded. All you girls on YouTube who promote them so much, a lot of you haven't made videos yet. Some of you have, but a lot of those videos are people that were, they did like a conference call with the CEO, with like all like the main like brand ambassadors. And so like, I don't want that company line one. I need to know exactly what you feel. And I haven't seen a lot of that. And so, and all you guys that are collecting those coins from them, you guys have to say something about this, because if you just toe the line completely, that's going to destroy the trust even more. So, like, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah. I don't use Shea Moisture, so I feel like I can't really have an opinion about that. I always found them really overpriced, and Cantu did a lot of the things that when I would try like travel size or smaller size of Shea Moisture, Cantu did the same thing and or better for my hair. I think the thing that really offended me was the idea of biracial girls and white girls being at the center of a conversation about hair hate.
Yeah.
Not saying that all biracial girls have the same hair, because I have a few biracial friends that have 4C hair. But looking at it through the lens of like black culture, biracial girls are often praised for having, quote, good hair. So having a biracial girl be the center of that kind of conversation made no sense to me at all. And then listen, white people and black people do not have the same hair. They don't. It's just it's science, it's genetics, it's the world. So, like, white people with curly hair use John Frieda, and white people with straight hair can use, I don't know, stuff to make it not greasy. Black people need hair stuff that's for them. I don't know why that's a controversial idea. Seeing how everyone's hair is different. So that is a big question mark, and I've never seen a white girl get hair hate in my life. So I need someone to show me some receipts, because I ain't never seen it.
I mean, I have a couple of white friends who have close to black hair, and they use black hair care products because it works on their hair, and they use Shea Moisture and Mixed Chicks and Miss Jessie's. They use those products, so like to 100% say that our hair is completely 100% different. There's people that live on that border, you know, on that border of hair textures. And there's outliers. And they were getting that market without having to put white people in the things. I saw lots of people talk about that in different comment sections, like white people saying like, you don't need to put me in the commercial, because if it works, it works. And I'm so used to companies catering to me. I thought it was great that you catered to black people. Like, there's this idea in some companies that they think that they need to put a white person in the commercial to still collect white dollars, and there's other people that have been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are outliers, but again, like, having a white woman centered in the conversation of hair hate makes absolutely no sense to me. But like, and also, their hair hate isn't based in...
No, it's not the same.
It's just overall racial...
Oh, please, I don't want you guys to think that I think that hair hate for white girls is the same as hair hate for black people. That is completely different. That is racial versus patriarchy versus just... Like, those are different things. Completely. And I think... But I still also think that it's a misnomer. It's a bit of a misnomer for us to say that that video meant that white, that they were centering. It was like, if you look at the whole, the video, yes, centers white people. If you look at the whole of the campaign, they were in one video. And so that's where I'm like, are they being centered? That was a question to like everyone. Like, is the presence of white people automatically make them centered? And I can see yes or no. I can see yes or no on both ends. I can see both sides of that.
So I'm looking at, this is really interesting because I feel like normally we're very much on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we aren't, but I feel like, I guess putting on my marketing hat like you did, it is not my job as a consumer to have to look deeper into the whole video of what they were doing. And it's their marketing person's screw up for thinking that this video could be a standalone and not have it attached to anything else. And that is on the capitalist consumer marketing side where they flubbed, like you said, because again, if you don't look at anything else, I haven't looked at any of the other videos, so to me it's centering someone that looks like me and a white person in a conversation of hair hate from two groups of people that may have experienced hair hate but is not in the same context of racial inequity, anti-blackness, and colorism.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm in 100% agreement with that. They messed up in the packaging of this, but I think I'm asking like a deeper question of if they have products that cater, that white people can use, does that make them a company you can't support anymore? Because even if they continue to center black women in the marketing, but then they also have product lines for that a white person can use, does that change? Is it not a black owned company even anymore if it has stuff for white dollars?
I can't, I mean, that's a question for everyone else again. Yeah. I never bought Shea Moisture.
If Cantu had a part of them, like they had a sideline that was for thin and volumeless hair, and that is code for white girls, right? Would you be like, nah, can't you? I can't F with you anymore.
I think, I don't know. It's just really annoying. It's really annoying. Mm-hmm. It's really annoying. Everything is for white people. Yeah. Everything is for white people. Everything is for straight hair. Everything is, clothes are for straight sizes. Black girls aren't supposed to wear bright colors. And like neons are in. I don't. Like, everything's for white people. I don't...
Yeah, no, it's tough. Like, it's tough. It's tough for me, too. Like, I'm like, hold on to your niche. Your niche is strong. The niche is bringing you a lot of money. Are we not bringing you enough money? But then it's also... But, like, then I'm also, like, the business head's like, well, there's more competition. There's more and more black people are putting their hat in, maybe they're losing market share. And then I'm also like looking at shit like Dark and Lovely that I know is owned by a multinational white company, really, really pivot towards natural hair in their marketing. They had like an all natural line, but they're pivoting toward to take those dollars. And then you're going to see that at your Duane Reade, at your CVS, there it's going to be everywhere. And it's like, I can see where they feel, where they could be feeling some pain. So I don't know their financials.
I guess feed into what you're saying is like, on the other end, I'm like, if it's not owned, when it was a company solely owned by a black person, I would look at that and be like, take those white people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take the white people, take their money. Like, yes, make them pay you for what you're doing. So I don't buy Shea Moisture, so really interested to hear what you guys say, and I hope you guys are tweeting at Brittany about this conversation, because again, as not someone bought into this brand, I really cannot speak for anything.
She's like, except I am not in it. Don't, if you are upset by this, do not tweet me.
I'm like watching it. I like watching the discourse. I guess, again, like you said, like, I haven't been buying into this brand family for years. So I can only say what I imagine what I would feel, mm-hmm. is that I would be like, what the hell? Everything's already for white people. That's what I can assume is what I would feel. It's like, everything's already for them. Do you really need to do this? Clearly, you're doing well with just the black dollar, which people consistently underestimate the value and the power of it. And here was an example of the value and the power of it, because Shea Moisture is killing the game. I mean, you got people who want to boycott, and they're like, I can't yet because my entire hair care line is just every variety of Shea Moisture product that they offered, because like you said, you have to change your products up every few days. So when this gel based product didn't work, you switched to the curl cream, mm-hmm. and then you used this deep hair mask this week, and then used the coconut based one the next week. So it's like,
and it's not just hair care stuff. They have, I use their soap. I use their body scrubs. This is the shit that my white mother-in-law gives me because she knows I like it. Like,
yeah, it's hard.
I mean, they started my natural hair journey. Because it's
too many people say
it,
that too.
It start like because it showed up in Target. It became available. Like, I didn't have to search and like scrounge to find it. It's in Walgreens. It's in Walgreens in Colorado Springs. Like, and I was nervous, you know.
Like, where do I get my hair care? Do I have to order it online?
Exactly. Not at all. Nothing has changed. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, I have lots of feelings at them, and like, they are gonna have to show me if, cause like, and you know, I have other dollars that I will be spending in different ways, cause I have those dollars. I have them. And I know where they are. I know other companies, like there's 100 lists out there now telling you all the different companies you should be buying instead. But please, I want to just be like, cautionary tale. Make sure you read and know that these businesses that you're, if you're switching away from Shea Moisture, make sure the company that you go to is a black owned company. Like, double check, triple check. Dark and Lovely is not a black owned company.
Carol's Daughter
was that's
sold
the,
out forever ago.
That's the one that went to L'Oreal. Is Carol's Daughter.
Yeah. They sold out before. I think I bought one thing and it was like Carol's Daughter sold out. And I was like,
same thing. I let that shit sit in my closet for like 5 years.
I feel like when you were moving, you tried to give me some, and I was like, I did. No.
It was just sitting in my closet, like, you want this hair milk?
No.
And it didn't work on my hair. Felt like it was working for some white girls. It felt like some white girl stuff. It was not creamy. It was just like, you know, it was just like so watery. It just like kind of like splashed onto my hand, and like all my hair products are thick, and then I comb it through, and then it really saturates each strand, and this just sort of sat on top, slide off when I put some water on, and it was just like,
oh,
boom.
God.
Anyways, we've been talking about this for a minute, so.
I think the my one John, I'm going to move to my Giggle Cackle Roar, and I think it was good, though. I think it was important that, especially you, added your hat to this conversation, because I know that you have invested a lot of your dollars into Shea Moisture.
And they've supported so many of the people that I love, too. Like, I go to Janelle Stewart events, my Black is Beautiful on YouTube, and like I get killer bags that is just full of Shea Moisture stuff. Like, I know that those things, all those events that she does that are sponsored by that are supporting her and her family. And like, I'm invested in their world too, because I consume her content. And a lot of other people are the exact same. Well, Natural 85. I know you get your money from these people, and you have a baby on the way. Like, people that I like care about, that I don't know. It's just, it's like, I'm sad about the many people that have a lot to think about.
Yeah. Now I'm, like, searching if Cantu is Black-owned, because I actually have no idea.
They are. I did it already.
Okay. I was like, wait, I don't know. But, again, I guess I've never really talked about, like, my hair care, is that I really had no experience with Black-owned or Black-focused hair products until I moved to Philadelphia, because they weren't carrying that in any stores that I was going or my mother was going to get my hair stuff. So then when I moved to Philadelphia, it was like a crash course in like changing up my hair products and using sulfate-free based hair products that I had never used. So I'm still really new in like understanding my hair. I know that it now grows really, really fast. And it gets really, really dry really fast. So I know Cantu works for some things, but I'm also, like, changing it up. So I didn't even get to try Shea Moisture. I still haven't decided if I'm going to. Usually I look at the price tag and I'm like, no thanks.
Oh, no, no, no.
If I don't even know it's going to work.
Shit. I'm sorry. Cantu is white owned. I'm sorry.
See? What am I supposed to do? All right. Well, I guess we'll let you know what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly I gotta look for something else now. I'd like to buy mixed chicks, but they're also really expensive.
So
expensive. And I have a lot of hair.
Try... Eden Body Works. I've been noticing that they're now in Walgreens, and they're someone that I would also see at different like Black hair events. And I've used their products before. They have this like coconut one that works really good, like a coconut leave-in conditioner that I've liked. Give it a try. And Camille Rose Naturals. I've been seeing them at Walgreens as well. But yeah, Mixed Chicks, Miss Jessie's, and that other one, Kinky Coily. Too much money. I just don't got the doll. I don't have $22 for like a little bit of product, like 2 weeks of use, maybe. Like,
yeah, like, y'all, my hair is down to the middle of my back. Do you know how much product I had to put in my hair? Like, I don't got... Oh, I'm so glad. Now I'm on Eden Body Works and I see, like, this mask for under $10. Like, I think you just...
I just got you.
You just started a movement
all
for
right,
me.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
We're all switching. We all picked it. Eden Body Works is what we're switching to. It's been decided. Black Girls Laughing Community. We say, until further notice, we are using Eden Body Works.
Yeah, I want to use Mixed Chicks because I was like, oh, I'm a mixed chick. Perfect. That's... They have to have products for biracial, like, biracially focused hair, like, whatever that means. But that's how I felt when I saw the name.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the price tag, and I was like, never mind.
And their stuff works really good. I got it for free once, because at my bridal shower, they were, like, giving away that stuff as, like, goodie bags. And I said, I'm taking that. You're not getting that as a gift. That's for me, white girl. And it was really great. But again, I've never bought it since just because of that price. I'm too budget conscious.
How dare you? All right. Should we? We should move. Maybe move on.
Yeah,
this
was
a long John, but it was a good John.
Long John. All right. Do you want to, let's mix it up. You want to do your check it?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do my check it. Threw me for a loop. I was ready for your new something fun that Brittany is going to be talking about. But my check it is because I had a really funny instance this week. As you guys know, I've been going to therapy once a week, and it's been really great, and I've been feeling really awesome about it. And if you guys also don't know, I go to therapy in the middle of the day, and I was having a conversation with a friend of, like, how do you do that? Like, when I leave therapy, I'm crying, and I'm, like, tapped out for the rest of the day, and I understand, like, the possibility of that happening after a therapy session. I mean, you're talking about everything, and everything is exhausting. So I was like, you know, usually I leave therapy, like, with a sense of clarity of, like, I've talked about this thing to somebody, and so far, since it's still kind of new, I'm just not seeking, but I just have been feeling validated in my feelings. Again, not the idea that they're facts, because I'm very much one to recognize that feelings aren't factual, but they are valid. There is validity to everything that you're feeling. And so I was going into therapy, like, this week, ready to leave really refreshed and, like, really awesome. And I know last week we talked to you guys about being in this place of fear. And I actually had been replaying that conversation in my head since we had recorded Sunday, and I go to therapy on Monday, and I'd been really thinking about that, and, like, really thinking about existing in this place of fear, and, like, especially not having a job right now, like, I've only been existing in this place of, like, financial fear and career fear of, like, it's hard to find a job when you don't have a job, which... makes no sense, but that's how it goes. And I left therapy feeling like crap. Like, absolute crap. Like, have still kind of been in my own head about everything I talked about. And I even said to my therapist, what I told you guys was that I have been existing in this new year in nothing but fear. Like, applying for jobs, interviewing, wondering about how I'm going to get money, worried that I would have to leave Philadelphia because I can't find a job, like what my next move is, how am I going to get someone to give me a job, do I want a 9-to-5 job, what does it look like if I don't want a 9-to-5 job, do I take up a few, everything, all of it, just nothing but fear and recognizing that I had put too much stock and too much of my self-worth and the idea of having a full-time job. So I say all of this rambling, as I always do for Check It, because Check It seems to be like my pre-therapy therapy session, and you all get to hear it in action as it's happening. Like, I guess really having, like, post-therapy therapy. When talking to my friend about how she would leave, like, crying and exhausted and tapped out after the day, I really thought about, so, like, what do you do the rest of the week? Like, do you feel better from that? It's, like, crying your way of, like, having your post-therapy therapy, is that, does crying afterwards make you feel any better? Like, how are you not doing what I did this week and just sitting in those thoughts you had until your next session, so then all of a sudden you're almost living session by session? Like, it's like living, like, paycheck by paycheck. It's like, I'm only, like, feeling my full existence when I'm letting these things out, and then after that I'm sitting in my own head again, worrying about what I said, worrying about the outcome of that session and how I can fix it in the next one. So I think it's really important, and I've been really good this year at, like, writing for myself. Still not in a capacity to write and share with people on a consistent basis, but, like, just picking up a notebook and writing, I've been really, really good with that, which usually my terrible follow-through makes me bad with that. But having post-therapy therapy of, like, what did I talk about? What had upset me? And how am I going to recognize that that is what's supposed to happen in that moment, but I cannot live the rest of my week focused on what happened in that hour of time and let that be my focal point until next Monday at 1 p.m. Because then what am I doing the rest of that week?
Mm-hmm.
How am I feeling the rest of that? And then I go to therapy and let my therapist know that that's what I've been doing. And how am I getting to the place that I want to be, which is different. I don't even know what that place is either, but I know that living session to session is not a place that I want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are now hearing my pre-therapy, post-therapy therapy. And I'm curious to know what you think about this. And I also wanted to ask, like, are you looking into getting a new therapist out there? And I hope you do that soon. And maybe that'll be part of my check-in now, as I keep checking in with you to see if you got a new therapist yet, because I know how much better it made you feel when you had one. So harping on you until you get a new one, as a friend should.
I mean, I've been looking into that. With the new insurance that I have, it's a little cost prohibitive. It's, like, really expensive for me to go the same amount, because the copay is a little bit high, is significantly higher. So I'm, like, looking into other options, looking into some of those, like, Talkspace and Betterment and some of those digital platforms where you can talk to someone, like, through like a Skype session type of version of that. Just like, I don't know. I'm just like trying to figure out like what's going to make the most sense for me. I definitely need to go back. It will help me go through some of this anxiety that has been coming up in my life because of I'm going through a change. I'm still going through that change. And I don't, in many ways, I haven't recognized that I'm still in transition, that I will be transitioning into my new life in Colorado Springs for at least a year. Like, and I'm only 90 days in on that, and that there will still be things I need to like fix and quirk and understand and unpack. But I just want to commend you that doing post-work after a therapy session is pushing you towards having a larger goal about your therapy. Because again, it is still very new for you. And I know in the beginning of my time with my therapist in Philly, it was just, what the hell is going on? Like, just getting as much stuff out and just having, and just like, and what did help me in then figuring out what my goals should be for therapy was what you're already doing, writing about it, having that moment of like, of just like writing, like, what did I talk about? Like, did I hit all the things? Like, and even going into therapy with a list of things that I do want to talk about, even if I wouldn't have it in front of me, just the act of doing it meant that I would not go on some tangent that isn't beneficial. Because I know that for myself in therapy, I could easily just talk about the easy things. And if I sat down and wrote about the hard things, there was more of a likelihood that I would talk about those hard things and not retreat to some of the easier things that were going on in my life. I like the big thing that I would talk about instead of talking about, like, when I started going to therapy, I was having a lot of issues with things that were going on in my family and my father specifically. And I would distract myself and talk about work a lot instead of talking about that. And like, work was frustrating and I had a lot of things to unpack with work, but it wasn't the primary. And so when I realized that if I need to work on my dad stuff first, because, you know, I'm just a typical woman with daddy issues, I had to force myself to do that. So like, writing out that list ahead of time helped me stay on track a little bit more. And then help me really formulate what those priorities were. I think it's, at the end of the day, there's priorities in it. There might not be specific goals, but there's stuff that you want to get through. And like getting that list of priorities would help me think like, okay, I'm going, this is my second, I didn't go every week. I went every 2 weeks. And like, okay, this is my second day this month. Do I want to go revisit job bullshit, or do I want to focus in on this? Or maybe something did come up, like maybe something's going on in my relationship with a friend. Can, like, is that like a major issue right now? Should I focus in on that today? I don't know. It helped me like know all the things that were like the big triggers and the big issues. Yeah. So that's a, I'm just like you go, girl. You're doing it right. Like, you're doing it. Like, you're doing it, and there's no like right wrong way of doing it. Like, and you're, if it's working for you, keep doing what you're doing. But like, I would say isolate some time, like picking time to think about those things, and like thinking about it like right afterwards is like the best thing you can do.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you would write lists about what things you wanted to talk to, because I'm literally not allowed to do that.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, I, like, it wouldn't be, like, a list.
My problem?
It wouldn't be a list. I think a list was a misnomer. I would just, like, write some freeform paragraphs about certain things that were bothering me that week and sort of, like, get those out there. I'm a list person, but It would be like a little bit more loose than just like dad and
yeah,
Jordan, well, yeah, you know, like it would be like a longer type of thing of like me just like thinking about the week and thinking about where I am right now, because I wasn't told to not do that. So
my, I guess, to be like really, I'm never one to shy or like be pretty closed off. One of my big issues is that I have to work through with my therapist is that I think everything should be productive, and I base a lot of my value in things being productive, including therapy and going and feeling like if I'm not talking then I'm not filling the space, and if I'm not talking it's not working, and that's not how therapy works. It's come out that that's how I look at romantic relationships, which is why I think a lot of things are a waste of time, because if it's not productive, if it's not leading to whatever end goal I want it to be, which 99% of the time I have no idea what the end goal for most of my relationships should be, unless it's something that I see myself doing long term, but I look at everything through the lens of productivity, including myself. Like, am I being productive? And I think a lot of it is a part of this culture of this idea that if you're not busy and stressed out, then like, what are you doing? And that's not healthy. Like, people shouldn't be who wants to be stressed out? Nobody wants to be stressed out. But I love being busy. And, like, do I love being... But am I being actually, like...
productive.
Busy in a way... Yeah. Like, am I actually... Like, I don't want to use the word productive, but I'm just being busy to be busy.
Yeah, busier than thou. I mean, we talked about one of our friends that her life is about being busy. And is she actually getting towards anything in her busyness? Yeah, no, girl, we're the same in that regard. Hello, like, I talk about, the way I talk about the podcast, I love it because it makes my friendship with you more productive. Like, I look at productiveness in friendships and relationships and everything. And most of my anxiety comes from me feeling I'm not productive enough.
Yeah.
The past so 2 weeks.
I'm not allowed.
I feel you. No, and you shouldn't be allowed because of that. And I mean, and my next therapist will probably need to say something, need to nip the shit that I was doing in the bud. You know?
Yeah.
We'll see. Oh.
A lot of it was when we got to the romantic part, he's like, how do you define a waste of time? He's like, is 2 years with someone a waste of time and it doesn't work out? Is that a waste of time? Is 2 months with someone and you realize pretty early on that maybe this isn't what you want, so you cut it off? He's like, what is a waste of time? And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That deep as yeah. Hell.
He's like, everything isn't like a work project.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have a deadline. It doesn't have like set. He's like, everything doesn't work like that. And I was like, you're right. He's like, including therapy, so stop. Stop.
Don't do that.
Yeah. So that was, we're full of long things today, but really good things to talk about. But that was my check it. I'm really glad you added in that. I think that post-therapy is good for everyone. Mm-hmm. We should all do it.
Yeah.
Everyone should go to therapy.
It's just to keep track of your thoughts at the same time. Because, like, you can talk about something and then not, and, like, completely forget about it if you don't take a moment to reflect. And then to say the P word again, it might not be as productive. Sorry. Oh. Well, that was a great check it. Yay.
Yay.
I'm going to be quick. So, I love You Better Work, and I'm going to continue to do You Better Work, but I wanted to bring in a new segment, because I've been talking a lot about this. I like looked back at some of the episodes. Like, I've been talking about hiking and like healthy habits and like really trying to change my life around. And I'm like, well, let's just make a segment about it. Let's just like not try to like pop it in at John's and Google Cockle Roars. Like, let's just talk real about it. And then I also have recognized that like I get really freaking happy when it comes to nature and eating better and really focusing on me and my health and how I re-interact with the world. And it centers me, like, I still, like, in a way that I know, like, as I continue to do it more, will help me in everything in my life. So I wanted to just give a little bit more credence to that new part of my existence. So this new segment is called Dat Crunchy Life, because I'm really jumping in to that, I don't know, what I would have called a crunchy existence growing, like I would have mocked these people in the past, especially when it comes to like this hiking and being outdoors. That city dweller, East Coaster in me has been kind of negative about that. And like in the past couple of years, I've gotten better, especially when I started to run. And the first time that I tried to eat a plant-based diet. So in this first segment, I talked about it last week. But starting on May 1st, I am going on a 30-day plant-based diet. Why only 30 days? Because I know my ass fails a lot when it comes to eating only plant-based foods. Because I love chicken. I love chicken wings. And I fail. And then I just give up on that lifestyle completely. So why should I focus on becoming this new thing, becoming a vegan, you know, taking on this identity and focus it so much on an identity and just focus it on the freaking habit, the habit of trying to eat more green vegetables and eat and have a diet that is less dependent on animal products. And that's all it is. It's not, you know, and I know that I'm going to want chicken sometimes, and why should I be mad at myself if I do want chicken and I do eat that chicken? But if I'm, and so like, it's all this idea of you don't want to let the perfect be the enemy of good. And again, I think it goes back to some of our productivity stuff. We try to be perfect in so many ways. Like,
us?
You know, yeah.
Never.
I mean, we we'll just use, you know, BGL as like an example. Like, we get down on ourselves for some of the things that we wish we were doing to enhance it, but like without an honor in the fact that we have kept a habit up for a long time. And I think that comes to working out, to work, to personal relationships. If we hit that thing that we understand as being failure, we just let the whole thing go. No, it's not failure. It's a stumbling block. You got to pick yourself back up and keep on going. And then you also have to be truthful to yourself. I like meat. I do recognize that I watched Cowspiracy. I understand how much water it takes for me to eat that piece of chicken or to have that hamburger. I've watched Forks Over Knives. I understand how it's healthier for my body if I don't eat a lot of meat. But I also know that I'm a human being that has lived 30 freaking years with meat being a part of my world, and that it's going to be hard to change something that is ingrained in you. And, you know, if you think that every person that switches from being a, you know, a carnivorous human to a vegan, that they don't have times where they cheat, you're lying to yourselves. And you know, and they're probably lying to themselves too, because they, you know, they like post it on social media one way. But like, I'm just trying to be real. You know, let's just try to be freaking real about this. So, I'm trying to go 30 days because I'm going to lose some weight if I do it. Like, just to be really honest, I know I'm going to lose some weight because it happened last time. I have other physical goals, like climbing freaking mountains that I'm trying to achieve, that I know I need to drop some weight to be able to do those goals. And so it's not focused on, I just want to get snatched. F that. I'm trying to hit some cool fitness goals. I want to climb a mountain. I'm trying to hit more experiences. And so these 30 days are going to jumpstart me. So when summer starts, I'm not afraid of going out and climbing because I'm thinking about the extra weight that's on my body. Because again, that shit gets in the way of you doing things. I want to climb, but I've made this mental barrier that I can't do it unless I lose some, like, unless I'm trying to lose some weight, because my body will never be able to hold all this titty and all this ass. Maybe it can. It can. But, like, I'm going to also put something in there to help me feel more comfortable so I can actually freaking do it. Because I can just sit around for the next 3 months and be like, I can't go climbing until I lose 30 pounds. But if I don't try to do it, and it's not true, I can go climbing tomorrow if I want to. But if I have that mental roadblock, let me try to break it down a little bit. Because I know when I eat a plant-based diet, I feel I want to do more things. I want to go outside more. It helps with all the different goals. So I'm going to try it for 30 days. Anyways. And I might go right back to cheeseburgers right afterwards. I do not know what's going to happen, but for 30 days, I will be doing a plant-based diet. It's just a great way to, like, even just figure out that plant-based food is good and remind yourself that plant-based food is good. Because once you get that addiction for certain things and you're, like, used to eating eating poorly, because I've been doing a lot of fast food recently. I usually don't do fast food, but again, because I'm in this new world where I'm in a car, fast food's more available to me, and I've fallen into bad habits. It is a way of, like, thinking about all the bad habits. Like, it's just a way for me, like, to just restart, and we'll see how it changes me. So if you want to, I'm really, like, doing this for myself, but I'm also documenting it just for my friends to keep me accountable. And you guys are my friends. So if you want to keep me accountable, I'm going to be, like, putting stuff on Instagram, and some of that stuff might also go on Twitter, like, of, like, what I'm eating. I have a really cool meal plan I've, like, figured out. I'm, like, going to eat. I figured out some fun stuff. So if you want to do that, follow me at Brie Hines, BRIEHINES on Instagram. Look at my story, because it lives in my Insta story, will be these foods. And then you might, find some things you might want to try to eat. I don't know. But I'm really focusing on this thing, and I want to achieve these 30 days. So if you could just rally around me, it will help me achieve that goal. Oh, and if I cheat, I'll show you guys. I will show you the Popeyes.
I was just about to say, what's your plan to not make yourself feel bad, not derail your goal if you cheat?
Just gonna start again.
Start again?
Mm-hmm. It just, the timer just starts again.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just remembering that as your friend, mm-hmm. if you cheat, to remind you that you can start again and try again.
Just let me know that I can start again, and then I will start again.
So I am doing something similar, but mine's a little more, well, not similar, but I have a goal. Mine's turned into a 2-month thing. And the first one is a realization that I just bought groceries and am not in a financial place to throw out a bunch of stuff in my apartment. And also to get a better understanding of the what I'm going to do if and when I decide to do it. So I'm trying to, so my first month, I'm going to try and be more conscious of what grains I eat, if and when I eat them, and anything with added sugar or not naturally forming sugars. This is in hopes to, after I take time to be more conscious of that, to do the Whole 30 program. I come from a family, my mother has polycystic ovarian syndrome and my father has diabetes, and a lot of that is attributed to their intake of foods with added sugars. Those are things that they have to cut out. Grains, things like pasta, bread, you know, donuts, all of my favorite happiness things in the entire joy. World.
Yeah.
Literally. And then also, I mean, eating out. You don't know what's in that food.
Right.
You don't know what they're putting in that. You don't know what they're... Yeah, you only got an omelet, but, like, what, like, those peppers, are they... What are they frozen with? Like, what are they using? What kind of milk are they using? Like, mm-hmm. all of it.
What type of oil are they using?
Yeah, like, are they using extra virgin olive oil? Are they using... I cook more with coconut oil and extra virgin olive oil. Like, are they using, like, whole freaking Crisco and... Which makes everything taste better. I recognize that. But, like Brittany said, trying to lose weight, because, I mean, both of us have done it. I've been consistently doing it now for about a year, but I'm not at all at where I thought I would be by this time, and hoping to run my first half marathon, I get a lot faster when I lose weight, yes, as yes. any human does, because mm-hmm. you're carrying less weight. So I will not be documenting that as much as I will be my physical activity, because again, as I said before, as we've both said before, the physical activity we do attributes to positive mental health, and that's where I'm trying to focus. Like, if I lose weight, cool, but really my end goal is to feel better for this half marathon and to just feel better mentally, and I know... That's with working out, and I had been doing a really good job and fell off, and then had started to pick it back up again, and ended up traveling and fell off, and now I've been back for like 2 weeks and have been consistent again. So that's what I'll be documenting. So I guess, I don't know, go to Bree's Instagram to know what to eat, and then come to mine to know what to do, and then we'll all lose weight together.
Yay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! So yeah, that crunchy life, because like next week I want to talk about my camping schedule for the next couple of seasons, because I've never been camping before, and so like if you want to start camping, I want to be a resource. So yeah, hiking, all that shit. So woo! New segment.
New segment, crunch, crunch, crunchy crunch. Also, for y'all trying to lose weight and also still eating chicken, I'm your girl. Okay. I'll be your girl for that.
All right, guys. So we're here for a throwback jam. And this song came up a bunch this past week. So I went back to Mount Princeton to the spa because my sister-in-law's in town. And I was like, well, we're going to the hot springs. And it was like snowy and beautiful and gorgeous out there. So for the like hour and a half ride, I picked a playlist, and I picked this like I Miss the 2000s playlist. And the first song that came on was also in honor of me, since my birthday was just like the other day. And it's 50 Cent's In the Club. Because it's your birthday. Oh my God. And then when I was at the spa, I was like hanging out in this hot tub thing with all these chicks who this other girl was celebrating her 30th birthday. So we took a shot and like hung out and like had a good time. And then there's like these bunch of mamas that were there, and they were just like having a good time. And so they had their music playing, which was like, apparently you're not supposed to do that, but we didn't give a fuck. And the old people that were like in the one next to us were like, why do you have, they like told on us a few times, but whatever. So they put on In the Club for me when we were like singing happy birthday. And I just love that shit. That's a fucking good ass song. Like, that's a good song.
Can I tell you that I remember when that song came out and I called my local radio station who when they did song requests, and specifically remember standing in my kitchen using my landline, what a time, and called and requested that song. And I remember listening to the radio and then being like, B-Night from Edinburgh, Pennsylvania has requested 50 Cent In the Club.
It would get so lit on the bus when it would come on. Because, like, on the school bus, we would put on the radio because I had, like, a long. And everyone would just be like, oh, go, shawty. It's your birthday. And just everyone would just, like, flip out.
You're going to party. It's your birthday. We're going to set back on it like it's your birthday. And it don't give up because it's your birthday. At that time, I thought Bacardi was going to be some, like, lavish, wonderful type of alcohol. And then I started drinking and I was like, Bacardi?
Bacardi's terrible. But I drank so much Bacardi in high school because of the song. Because, like, it was like that and those commercials was like, Bacardi and cola, they get the job done. Like, Bacardi was at every high school party from then on. And that shit gives me nightmares, so I do not mess with Bacardi anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no. But that is such a good throwback jam. I'm so happy you picked that. I'm probably going to go listen to that song right after we're done recording.
Right? Get amped. Have a good time.
I'm spring cleaning my room, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's perfect. Cleaning, like, get in the groove, but not notice that you're, like, still, you know, cleaning.
4 hours later.
Yeah. All right. Ready for Giggle Cackle Roar?
Giggle Cackle Roar. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We're not anxious this week, y'all, so we're just going to... We unpacked so much stuff today that I think we deserve to not have to go dip into the anxiety corner.
No, we shared all of our anxiety about our own lives that have nothing to do with 45, so that's enough anxiety for one day, maybe a few days.
I think we're good. Want to kick us off?
All right, I'll start it off. So Janet Jackson, who has been in the news a lot for the birth of her new wonderful, adorable, so cute baby, and separation from her husband, has updated her website. And there's a countdown clock. What is happening? Is she going to go on tour again? Like, she's had this baby. She ain't got a man. Because she kicked him to the curb. Like, is she going on tour? Is she releasing an album? Is there a book? Is she only just updating her website and we're all getting excited for nothing? Like, what is happening? And we're supposed to find out tomorrow. So, Monday. So Monday this week. So by the time you listen to this, we will know what the countdown clock is all about. Ah. I'm excited. I just want to know what's happening. Like, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty, what is happening? What are you giving us?
I like it.
I'm anxious. That's my anxiety for this week. What is Miss Jackson doing?
What is it going to be? Like, what is it? Ooh. I love me some Janet, too. But I feel like, you know, she's at a different place, so it might not be music. Like, oh, anyways. But,
So what do you got? What you got?
This has been, like, on my mind, and I feel weird giving it, like, a lot of love. But Samira Wiley's in it, so I guess I'll give it some love. I watched the first episode of The Handmaid's Tale. It made me so freaking uncomfortable. Because it's, like, in this, like, post-America, like, world. And I feel like we're, like, right on the edge of post-America. So, it was a little scary. But it's really good. Jordan could not do it. He could not. It was making him too anxious. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like a giggle, because I'm not deep into it enough to give it a roar. like it's all right. I think it's worth some of the hype that I've been seeing around it. I had no idea what it was. I was like, who? Because, like, a lot of, like, every white girl I know has been like, I want to see this, blah, I read this book and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, because it's, like, a feminist book. And, like, I was like, I don't know what this is. I'm just going to click it on. I hear Samira Riley's in it, and I like Peggy from Mad Men. What is she doing? So.
Oh, I've never watched Mad Men.
Oh, well.
Is that the really curved? Is it the redhead?
No, it's not the redhead. It's the one that was, like, the smart one who got, like, broke the glass ceiling and got to be an ad person. Like, she was, like, the one woman that got to be an ad person on Mad Men. A lot of white girls love. A lot of white girls love Peggy.
Oh. I only know Peggy the redhead because she's really beautiful.
Oh, because she's fine as hell. She's, like, all that titty.
Whew. Her body is insane.
Sick.
Yeah, I guess I can add, like, a laugh to your thing that you're talking about. I was talking to my roommate about this, because she was talking about watching it, and it was a book that she read, which, like, did all white girls read this book in
school? All of them did. I went to school with white girls.
Yeah, we went to school
I'm
with
confused.
White girls. Why didn't
I'm
we
confused
read this
and
book?
Why I don't know it. I don't know.
I was in nothing but accelerated and AP English, so was that a lower, like, I'm not trying to be snooty, but was that a lower level English class book? I even took comparative literature as my independent study. If there was an opportunity for me to read white feminist literature, it would have been then, but I actually had chosen nothing but black feminist literature without even understanding what black feminist literature was. So shout out to me back in the day.
Hey.
But she said that the cast was saying that it's not a feminist. It's a show. Is it a TV series?
It is a TV series.
So they were, I guess the cast was saying that it's not a feminist series, it's just a, I don't know, they like all people mattered, like.
Well, I can understand them trying to, like, separate themselves from white feminism, because, and, like, I think that because of all the white girls that are all crazy about it, they're like, yo, it's not just a white feminist thing to sort of like get more people into it and like maybe to embrace us who might be skeptical of it. I don't know.
I guess the author was like, it is feminist literature.
Yeah.
Like, it is. Like, I guess, I mean, they're never going to use the word white feminism.
No.
I don't expect anyone to use that word.
Non-intersectional feminism.
Oh, I can't even do the word intersectional anymore. I'm over that. But it's just funny for the whole cast to be like, it's not feminist. And then the person that created it being it, like,
bitch, it is.
I made it. It is. What you talk about? So that is a laugh. That is a giggle to go with you. Because that is funny.
Oh. It's all on right. Hulu. Yeah. That's it.
Check it out. The end. Another episode.
Yay! Another episode.
Shout out to all of you who have been downloading our episodes. Our numbers seem to have gone up a wee bit.
Yes,
and
I'm
we're
very
hitting
happy.
Goals. So the more you listen to us, the better we get. We've been really good at being consistent, so thank you for recognizing that in us.
Yeah, and you know, you can always, if you're enjoying it, all you new listeners and old listeners, if you haven't, drop that comment on iTunes or just like, you know, started a conversation on SoundCloud. I see you SoundCloud listeners, you know, drop us a little message while you're listening. We want to interact with you.
Yes. So you can find us on the internet. At yeah. BOK Girls Laughing with no G on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing. Our website, www.blackgirlslaughing.com. You can send us an email at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com. And you can find us living that crunchy life now that we all are getting on the train and seeing what we're doing on our personal Instagrams. I'm at BEEKNIGHTLY at B Knightley.
And I'm at Bree Hines, BRIEHINES at Bree Hines. Yeah.
You sounded like a DJ.
I was thinking of splits on trees.
Never forget.
Hashtag splits on trees.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Come on.
All that titty. Whew.